Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips. Like
it's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his loss.
Here's the Sandman.
Over Sandman.
The countdown to Christmas is on, and you know what that means. Tax time. It's right around the corner. So before you start sipping on that eggnog and finishing up your Christmas shopping, there are a few things you can do right now to keep your taxes down, but you have to do it before the year is over. Good morning. Welcome. What a beautiful morning we have outside. I'm David Hollander, your host. It's great to be here with you this morning. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled tax, legal, and financial questions each week. And that's because I've been running a tax, legal, and financial planning practice for over 30 years. So 2024 is just around the corner. Can you believe it? It's December already. The tax law will sunset at the end of next year. And so that means there are several smart money moves that you should consider making right now if you want to pay less in taxes. You don't want to wait until the last second. Learn what you should be doing now to make your money work harder by year end as we share year end smart money tax moves to make before it's too late. It's all coming up next, so stick around if you want to pay less taxes. Now, let's get started. Well, this was sure a November to remember. The Dow was up 2.4% for the week. We're now up over 9% year-to-date in the Dow. Can you believe it? We were flat just a few weeks ago. Now it's up 9.3%. S&P 500 up 0.8% for the week. We're getting real close to being up 20% year-to-date. NASDAQ up 0.4% year-to-date, up over 36%. MSCI International Index up 0.1%, but year-to-date up over 9%. And the bonds, that was the story this week. Bonds up 1.7%. That's pretty substantial in bonds this past week. So what's going on? Well, first of all, the stock market, U.S. stocks gained, get this, 9% overall in November. This was the best month in nearly a year and a half. Think about that. And this was the second best November in terms of performance on the S&P 500 in the last 30 years. So that's crazy. And then also this past week, we had bonds. Bonds, as measured by the Bloomberg Aggregate Bond Index, had their best monthly return, and get this, over 30 years. So what's going on? So this week, I started reading some articles about the bull case versus the bear case. And I was seeing many Wall Street firms unveiling their 2024 S&P 500 targets for next year. And as I was reviewing these predictions, I thought it might be helpful today to lay out the bull case and the bear case, and then which one do I think is more likely? So let's start with that, shall we? What's the bull case right now? What are the bulls thinking overall? And again, these are the arguments you want to write down and pay attention as the year continues to unfold and as we enter next year. Because if these things are happening, it's more likely than not the market will continue to do well. So the bullish argument for stocks can be summed up by this statement. Everything that's already priced in actually happens. And I say that because most of the year-end 2024 S&P 500 price targets in these articles are talking about 4,700 to 4,800 on the S&P. And as you recall, we just closed Friday at 4595. So not much more to go there, but still bullish overall if we get there, 4800. So what's the case? Sure, growth's going to moderate a little bit, but the consumer is still spending and employment's still pretty good. And this will support the economy through next year. So while growth could slow, it's not going to be meaningfully. Second, inflation. Inflation continues to come down. So the entire 21-22 spike in inflation, as we know, was caused by supply chain issues. And as we know now, those are being fixed. And so as that more inventory comes online, things get cheaper and inflation will gradually come down. Third, the Fed. No more hawkish surprises from them. So keep it neutral, guys and gal, sorry. If inflation's coming down, then the Fed can start easing up on rates, and lower interest rates will certainly support stocks. No reduction in earnings. So corporations, well, we're expecting them to show earnings, and it should be around $245 a share on average on the S&P 500. So the takeaway, if you do the math, is if the S&P 500 is trading around 19 times earnings next year at 245, we're looking at about 4,800. So when you look at these articles and they're saying overall 4,700 on the S&P, you can see how they get there. Now, let's get really bullish, shall we? Because you know they're out there and you're going to hear about them. You're going to go, why is he or she saying that? What does that mean? So these are the really bullish people. These are the ones that I think are on a different planet. How's that? They say that, there's an immaculate disinflation. And you know about that. I've been talking about that now for months. And for those of you who don't know what that means, go back and listen to the previous podcast. I don't have time this morning. All right, next, Fed cuts. The Fed actually cuts rates in the first quarter. I heard it this morning driving to the office on some national news report that they're expecting that. I don't think so. You'll hear in a minute why. So if those two folks are correct in their opinions, well, then what happens to the S&P 500? Get this, 5,000. You heard me right. 5,024 is attainable if the S&P trades at 20 times earnings with the 250 number. That's how you get to 5,000. I mean, it's possible. Think about it. And as we know, in the end phases of these, frothy markets, you've seen this before. You know, if you've been doing this 30 plus years like me, you've seen these things. They come and go. So that's the bear case for next year. Now, of course, the bears are around and they're talking too, so let's see what they say. The bears think this. They think that everything that we were worried about going into this year actually happens, finally. And what is that? Well, first, the economic growth doesn't just slow, it downright contracts and goes the other way. And as we know, there are no absolute certainties when it comes to the market. But if there is one thing that's certain, it's that higher interest rates eventually kill economic expansion. It's happened every single time. And the Fed has just finished the most dramatic rate hike cycle we've seen in decades. And even now, rates sit at multi-decade highs. If you're getting financing, if you're borrowing mortgage, I'm starting to finally see properties that are being auctioned off. Remember those days? Just Google, you'll see these 35. Oh, I saw this one yesterday. Some friend of mine sent it to me. It was a $135 million home going for $35 million. What a deal. But who's got $35 million to write a check and pay for that house? Can't get financing. The duration of these higher interest rates will cause slow growth, which I think is happening now. And then later in 24, an outright contraction. Again, these are the bears. They also think inflation is going to stabilize and doesn't decline further. And this is what's interesting, because if you remember back, the easy part of inflation going the other way, also known as disinflation, in this case was our consumer price index, remember, went from 9% down to 3%. And that's where we are right now. But with companies and consumers now used to higher prices, the last bit of the inflation decline is going to be difficult. And why I say that is because inflation is just tough as it starts to get down to that bottom level. It's really hard to make it go further because remember, the Fed wants 2%. And this is the one I find interesting about the Fed, the prediction. Remember I just said the bulls were saying they were going to cut in the first quarter or the early part of the year next year? The bulls are disagreeing with that. They're saying the Fed doesn't cut rates and rates stay higher for longer. And that is an interesting observation. Because if corporate returns don't come in the way we want them, the Fed's going to be sort of in a pickle. Stuck between, is that first and second, Kevin? Is that how that works? First and second, that's right. So what's a realistic target for the bears? What are they saying is going to happen? They say if all these things start to happen, then expect this on the S&P 500. Get ready, I'm sorry, 3,800. Bad breath. And while that may seem like a long way down, think about it. It was about a month ago, the S&P 500 was flirting with going through 4,000. So it wasn't that long ago. It just shows you how quickly things can change. So what do I personally think? Well, if the last 30 years in the market have taught me anything, it's that outcomes are not binary. So I don't normally get a universally positive resolution, and nor does everything just break bad just because. Again, normally, right? There's always the tail event. In the last 30-something years, I've seen three of those. The truth is usually in the middle somewhere, and that's where I think we are right now for 24. So long before the age of quantitative easing and ZERP. Ready for that? You love my acronym, ZERP. Stands for zero interest rate policy. Markets were more nuanced and more volatile, but in the end, more times than not, they drifted modestly higher. First, economic growth. I think based on the data we're seeing right now, and we've been talking about for weeks here, I believe that growth is going to slow more than the consensus thinks, but it's not going to collapse and we're not going to go into a deep recession. Second, Fed. This is the one I find fascinating. The market right now is too aggressive in its expectations for the Fed cutting rates by, say, May next year. Here's why. First, I don't think the Fed can reasonably cut rates unless the CPI, again, our inflation measure, is under 3% year over year. And I'm not confident that's going to happen in 24, and here's why. Remember Arthur Burns? Go look him up. Arthur Burns. He was the 1970s Fed president, and he was regarded as one of the worst because, well, he cut rates too early, and the inflation that he thought was gone wasn't. It bounced back, and then we saw those high interest rates and staggering inflation in the 70s and 80s, and I remember that as a kid. Long lines at the gas station. Remember that? That's what was going on. CDs paying 12, 14%. The Fed, Chair Powell, doesn't want to make that same mistake. They may make a new mistake, but I'm telling you right now, I don't think Powell is going to let the Burns legacy hit him. So that's what I think about that. And I do think that earnings are going to grow in 24, but not at the 10% expectation right now. And so what do you want to be doing right now? Well, you want to be cautious. That's what I'm saying. Because look at where you are right now. So the sectors you want to pay attention to are quality, value, low volatility. We call them minvol. Focus on those things. Get defensive a little bit. All right? So I'm cautious. It's my bottom line outlook. Be grateful for how you've done where you are. And next Friday, we will take a look at the unemployment number for November and see if that is still trending in the right direction. Now, something you can do is save money on your taxes next year because it's not too late. Still got a few weeks left. And if you want to save over $50,000 on next year's tax bill, Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. Stick around as I unveil some last-minute smart money moves you need to be making right now before it's too late. It always pays to listen to Protect Your Assets with me, the Sandman. I'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known around here as the Sandman, and you are listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And for those of you just joining us, 2024 is just around the corner, and there's still time to make some smart money moves before the year is over and pay that tax man a heck of a lot less. But you need to do some things to make sure it happens, because a lot of these things I'm going to talk about don't just mean you have to take action. It means you got to rely on somebody else. And like the post office, this time of year is our busiest time of year. And so that means that you need to get in line to get it done. But you need to know what to ask for. So we're talking this morning about year-end smart money tax moves that you can make before it's too late. So let's jump in. The first one on my list is this. Check your withholding. If you received a large tax bill last year, i.e. you owed over $5,000 of what was estimated, chances are you're not withholding enough. Our CPAs here in-house, because remember, we are tax folks, we are lawyers, and we do financial planning all under one roof. Our CPAs can run a simulator, just like stepping into virtual reality, to make sure you're doing everything okay and you're withholding enough while there's still time, so you can let your employer know to increase the amount of taxes so you don't end up paying penalties and all that interest and stuff. Pay your 2024 bills now. If you plan to itemize, now is a good time to prepay those deductible expenses like mortgage payments, state taxes, medical bills, tuition. Remember, if you have a college student under the American Opportunity Tax Credit, you can get up to $2,500 per student. This one is a no-brainer. I just did it this week. So if I'm doing it, you can do it, which is contribute the maximum amount you can afford into your 401k plan. Now, this is probably the easiest and smartest way to save for retirement. If you're under 50, you can now do $22,500 into your company's 401k plan. If you're over 50, which, yes, I am, you can contribute $30,000. According to the latest data from the IRS, millions of Americans are still not contributing to their retirement plan. So if you're not on track to maximum fund your plan, now is the time to call your benefits coordinator Monday. Do it the first thing when you walk in the office. I know you got stuff to do, but take care of yourself first. You heard me. Write it down. Monday morning, call your benefits coordinator and say, I want to max out my plan with my bonus or my last paycheck before 2023 is over. Remember, if you do this, your contribution will go into the 401k before tax. Those funds will not be taxable as part of your 2023 federal tax return next April. It's that simple. The more you put in, the less in taxes you will pay next year. Take advantage of the HSA. Do you have a high deductible health insurance plan? This is known as an HSA. Right now, that window's open. You probably have one. You don't even know it. So again, ask that coordinator, do I have an HSA option on Monday when you talk to that person? And if you do, if you can, contribute the maximum amount for 2023. Here's why. HSAs are probably one of my favorite tax gifts for most of my clients. Why? It's a triple threat. you can contribute as an individual $3,850 for 23. And if you have a family, you can contribute up to $7,750. Now, if you're over 55, which I don't know why it's 50 to 55. That's kind of weird. You can throw another 1,000 at it, so it's 8,750. This money goes into the plan tax-free. So that's the first threat. It's tax-free going in, meaning you didn't pay taxes on that income. Good. Next, if you invest it through, say, a brokerage account, like in an S&P 500 ETF index fund, then that growth on that money will be tax-free. That's number two. And my favorite is this, number three, if it's used for a qualified medical expense, which do you think you may have more healthcare costs later in life? Well, guess what? Statistically, you will. And that money will come out, you heard me, tax-free. Triple threat. Tax-free, tax-free, tax-free. Love it. But beware, once you reach age 65 and you're eligible for Medicare, you can no longer contribute to the HSA. Yep, sorry. So all of you who are under, do it now. Take advantage of that window before it's too late. Also, talk to a CPA before the end of the year. If last year's tax return surprised you, that's because the tax law changed. They always change. And if you haven't done any planning for 2023, then you should ask your CPA to project, illustrate the amount of taxes that you might owe next April. Now, do it now. Because there could be money owed to the IRS that's due December 15th. Now, this will enable you to determine if you need to make any estimated tax payment before the year is over. Avoid those penalties. Even if you don't believe you will have a large tax bill, I encourage people to have this conversation. We're actively reaching out to our clients right now to talk about this before the year's over. I'm literally slammed every day about this. And that reminds me, just last week, I reached out to Sean, and he had underestimated his payments by, get this, $100,000 due to some stock options that he exercised and sold this year and didn't tell me about it. $100,000. So there's no need for an unpleasant surprise when your CPA prepares your 23 return and hands you a larger than expected tax bill next April if you get in front of it now. So if you like to save taxes, then here's what I would do. I'd recommend downloading our free 8-page guide, which you can find on my website, libertygroupllc.com. This is a great way to understand why I make recommendations, and you'll definitely ask better questions when you talk to your tax person because you'll have this in front of you. If you ask better questions, that gives you more confidence because you understand what you're talking about. And that reminds me, if you're like Sean, who I was just talking about, who's been listening to the show for years, you've probably been meaning to call us. But it hasn't been the highest priority because of all the things, particularly right now, you're juggling in life, right? Why wait another week? Once December 31st gets here, it may be too late to do anything about it. So give us a call right now and find out if you're doing everything you can to pay less taxes when this year is over. It really is that easy. It's painless. It's complimentary. And we do all the heavy lifting for you using the latest advanced technology available. So you really have nothing to lose. Call us, 866-PROTECT, the number to call to get yours, 866-776-8328. My team's here this morning on a Saturday. We're sitting here ready to talk to you. Give them a call, 866-776-8328, if you want to pay less taxes. Now, coming up here on Protect Your Assets, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say you have to pay capital gain taxes on your stock sale every single time. Is that true? This answer will surprise you. So much more to come. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. You are listening to Protect Your Assets with me, David Hollander, the Sandman. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you are listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. If you're trying to keep more of your money and pay less in taxes, well, this show is all for you. Because the good news is you can still make some smart money tax moves before the year is over and it's too late. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All right, so here's one they say. They say that you always have to pay capital gain taxes on those stock winners that you sell every single time. Is that true? No, it's not. Yeah, really, it's not. What? You don't pay taxes? Don't pay taxes if you prepare correctly. What do I mean by that? Well, if you have the ability to show $44,625 as income as a single filer, then you pay zero capital gain tax on long-term sales of your stock. If you're a married couple, that number is 89,250 years. Did you hear that? Dollars. I just mixed it. So if you hold a stock for over 1 year, 365 days plus a day, that's a long-term capital gain. All right. And so let's say you have a winner. It's sitting there in your account right now. And you look at your income. And let's say you're under the 89,250 and you file jointly. Then you sell that stock before the year's up and potentially pay zero in capital gain tax. Yeah, that's amazing, right? If that's the case for you, or you're just not sure and you have the ability to push income into 2024, you heard what I just said, you could push income into 2024, then it may make sense to sell those winners. Last week was a good week. Sell it now, tax-free. And get this, you can reinvest back into that company. You don't have to wait the 30 days to reset the odometer on the future gains. You like that? And that reminds me, the Dow and the S&P 500, I just gave you the numbers at the start of the show. They're at record highs right now and have risen substantially in November. This was the November that just passed to remember. Second biggest November we've seen in 30 years in stocks. So many stock investors right now have gains in their portfolio right now. So if you have sold stock this year or you own, say, mutual funds who may have sold or could sell or declare gains, well, guess what? You're going to have capital gain tax this year. And most taxpayers are going to pay between 15 and 23.8%. In federal long-term capital gain taxes. California state income taxes are in addition to these rates, which could quickly bump your long-term capital gain rate to 30% or more if you sell stock or exercise RSUs like Sean and I was talking about. Now, Bob, who worked for a defense contractor and who was thinking about retiring, had a stock worth $750,000 in his 401k. And he wanted to pay only long-term capital gains on that stock versus ordinary income. He picked up the phone and called us. So what do we do? Well, when company stock holdings in your 401k are distributed, typically you pay taxes on those gains. There's a tax strategy out there called NUA. It stands for Net Unrealized Appreciation. And this applies to company stock. So you can effectively pay the lower capital gain tax rate, in Bob's case, over the ordinary income tax rate. We're talking about a distribution out of a 401k. Now, this can help you in those income gap years, which means if you have lower income, say after leaving work, before you turn on your Social Security or your pension. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you hold company stock in a 401k or other workplace retirement savings plan? If you're like Bob, you do, and he was all set to call his custodian and ask them to just roll over his 401k to an IRA. But before he did that, he picked up the phone and called me. And here's what I said. Not so fast. There's something called NUA. It's a tax break. It could save you a bundle. What's NUA, Bob said. Well, now you know because I just told you. NUA is the difference, Bob, between the price you paid for a stock, also known as its cost basis, and its current market value. So say you buy your company stock for $20 a share, about 100 shares, you paid $2,000 for it. 5 years later, as in now, you're thinking of retiring. You want that money to use in retirement. Market's up high right now. You're thinking, oh, I'm going to cash in. And the stock's $35 a share. So it's $3,500 is what it's worth now. Your cost basis is $2,000. So $1,500 would be NUA. Why should you care, Bob? Well, when you want to distribute that company stock or its cash value out of the 401k, you have a choice. You can roll it into the IRA or another 401k plan, or distribute the stock into a taxable account and roll the remaining asset into an IRA. Now, that option might be more effective, depends on your circumstances. So if you're in this situation, look at these four factors. Write this down. First, your tax rate. The larger the difference between ordinary income tax and capital gain tax, the greater NUA could make sense for you. Second, I call it absolute NUA. The larger the dollar value of the stock right now, in terms of appreciation, the more the NUA rule could help you save on taxes. Third, what's the percentage of NUA? An NUA that is a higher percent of your total market value creates, again, potential tax savings because more of those proceeds are going to be taxed at the lower capital gain rate as opposed to your ordinary income rate while you're still working. What's your time horizon to distribute all this? The longer you plan to keep your assets in an IRA or taxable account before you sell them, the greater the benefit of that tax-deferred growth, and therefore the less you may benefit from NUA. So in Bob's situation, Bob's married to Jennifer, and after 40 years in the defense industry, Bob, who was 67, retired with $2 million in his 401k. Now they're currently in the 24% federal tax bracket. Half of Bob's $2 million 401k nest egg is in company stock, and that's worth about $1 million. Because he participated in the company's plan for many years and bought the stock at low share prices over time, the average basis versus the current share price, his basis was $50,000. It's a $950,000 gain. While still working earlier this year, Bob, whose recent annual salary was $100,000, made a $40,000 after-tax contribution to the 401k to buy down the basis of the company stock. Now, under his company retirement plan rule, he is allowed to use the money to reduce his baseline. Now, this can allow him to, stay in the 24% federal tax bracket. This was unique to his plan. When Bob's RMD starts in a few years, he's projected to be in the 22% federal tax bracket because he's going to have less income. So to take advantage of NUA after he retires this year, he requested a full distribution of his 401k account. He sends the company stock in kind to a taxable brokerage account and directly rolls over the rest of that 401k, so probably mutual funds in this case, to an IRA. You see, he split up the account. So some went into a non-qualified, some went into a qualified. Now, he'll only going to pay tax as ordinary income on the basis of that stock and not the, capital gain and not the ordinary income because he did it this way. So, and he can defer that. He doesn't have to do it now, which, again, remember, next year when it's less in terms of his income, it's going to benefit him. So down the road, when Bob ultimately passes away, if he hasn't yet sold that company stock, his kids can receive a step up in basis on the gain of that stock. But you need to remember that the remaining portion of that NUA will be considered income in respect of a decedent, and that could be taxable as a long-term capital gain if that stock sold by Bob's kids. Now, the other thing to think about, Bob's estate could be subject to estate tax. Because as we know, next year, tax laws will sunset. We know in 25 they're going to go away. And so that means that the estate tax is going to adjust down. And in Bob's case, if he has real estate and other assets, you drop this 401k value on top of all that, he could be subject to estate tax. So this stock will be part of that. And that's in addition to any capital gain or ordinary income. So that could really knock the value of that down. So just like a Roth conversion, NUA should be realized because you want to pay lower tax rates on assets in the future by paying a little bit of taxes now. And this will affect your other benefits, which I'll talk about in our next segment. So if Bob hadn't picked up the phone and asked the question last week, he might never have taken advantage of the NUA. He would have just simply rolled over the account into the qualified account. And that would have been a huge mistake. How many of you are wondering right now, if you have stock options, how you'll treat those in retirement? Well, if you're like Bob and you're not sure, pick up the phone. Talk to my team right now, just like Bob did. And because Bob made that phone call, he's planning the trips he and Jennifer are going to take next year because he's going to retire now. Bob just picked up the phone, called me. Easy. Coming to my office for a complimentary one-hour meeting could change the next 30 years of your life. Think about it. If you're tired of the same old routine, meaning you have a lot of questions, keep getting unanswered, and you're sure you've made money this year, yeah, but so is everybody else, then stop settling for less. Pick up the phone. Call me right now. 866-PROTECT. So you can start looking at your money a little differently. 866-PROTECT, because we have some of the best coffee in the Bay. We have our own La Marzocco machine. I said that right. Free parking, friendly staff, and best of our, we're local. Call us. 866-PROTECT. It's time for a quick break. When we come back, find out how you can avoid having to claim the RMD on your tax return. This is probably the most common mistake that most people make and end up paying for it. Can even push you in the next tax bracket and cause you to pay a lot more taxes on your Social Security. Stick around. It's coming up next. We'll be right back.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you are listening to Protect Your Assets this morning, because after all, we're talking about taxes. How to keep more of that money in your pocket before it is too late. If you're 73 or over, you must take your RMD out of your retirement account. And normally when you take money out of your IRA, well, it's taxable. That withdrawal adds to your taxable income and inflates your AGI, also known as your adjusted gross income. And then if you give the same amount to charity, the charitable gift reduces your taxable income by the amount of the gift, but it doesn't reduce your AGI. So if you don't need your RMD, which some of you don't, then why not do it better if you're planning on giving it to a nonprofit and pay less taxes? Here's what I'm talking about. There's a way to keep the IRS happy by fulfilling your RMD obligation, but simultaneously avoiding the AGI adjustment or a tax on the RMD distribution. It's called a QCD, Qualified Charitable Distribution. The QCD is not taxable, and so it has no effect on your AGI. Now, this is important because itemized deduction phase-outs, these are things that tax you more, okay? Like a Roth contribution eligibility, the net investment income, the Medicare surtax, the Medicare premium cost. And don't forget about the taxability of your Social Security. We did a whole show on that. All this is based off your AGI. So if you do a QCD from your IRA, none of those things will be affected, and you can still give that money to charity and get the benefit of that. So to fully count as a QCD, there's three factors you must satisfy. I'm running out of time here, but anyway, get my piece on this and find out how to do it, because you can pay less taxes before it's too late if you do this correctly and not affect your Social Security, Medicare, and all those other things. It really is that easy, and we can help you manage it all because I know it's complex. Starts with the conversation. Pick up the phone. Talk to us. We're here right now on a Saturday. My team, ready to talk to you. 866-776-8328. You want to pay less taxes? It really is that simple. 866-PROTECT. Pick up the phone. Talk to us. Let us show you how to pay less in taxes, keep more in your pocket, and have a better retirement. 866-PROTECT. Big thank you this morning to the team for putting together a great show. My executive producer, network manager, Kevin Renfer. And of course, all my fabulous producers back there, Tony, Adrian, Jackie, Lucas. Thank you guys, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life, and pay less taxes.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed is not considered your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.